It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley's here. We did the show a day early so we could all be together tomorrow at our big meetup at Rattle and Hum in New York, New York. We've got lots of news, including Dell and HP reselling the Surface. Why? Well, it has to do with Apple, according to Paul. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 430, recorded Tuesday, September 8th, 2015. Lawyers in Love. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit Lynda.com/Windows. That's Lynda.com/Windows. And by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for a simple payment solution, check out Braintree. With one easy integration, you can offer your customers every way to pay, period. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to BraintreePayments.com/Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we talk about Windows Weekly, except on Tuesdays, where we don't talk about Windows Weekly normally, but now we do because tomorrow is the big day for Apple, and so we don't want to get in the way of Apple's taking all the oxygen out of the room. So we thought we'd talk about Windows today.
You're hurting my head.
Which gives me and us, you and me and I and thou, the freedom tomorrow to meet, to gather at Rattle and Hum, and to tip a gnarly wine is in farewell to Lagunitas.
Mm. Is that still there, Mary Jo, do you know?
Better be.
It is not.
Oh, it was the only reason I was going to New York.
But there are some other excellent strong beers on.
I'll have to go across the street and get my gnarly wine. Mary Jo Foley is here from allaboutmicrosoft.com, the ZDNet blog. Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com. Paul is carrying a giant Dunkin' Donuts travel insulated mug cup heavy duty thermos.
I mean, honestly, by today's standards, this is probably a medium. Yeah. Back in the 80s, this was like as big as it got.
That's a lot of caffeine, baby. A lot of caffeine. We are gathered. Yeah, so I apologize for those of you tuning in for MacBreak Weekly. That'll be tomorrow because...
And actually, I don't see why we need to apologize. You're welcome.
You're welcome. That's right.
Maybe you'll learn something today.
Listen and learn about the wonderful world of Windows.
I'm a little bit like Andy Anako. I live in Massachusetts. I like Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Yeah, I like the Red Sox.
Easily confused.
I don't have the funky, sideburns.
You need the sideburns and a hat.
Yeah.
So I'm flying out. Lisa and I are coming out, and we're going to all be at a meetup tomorrow afternoon, right about this time, 3 to 5 p.m. At Rattle and Hum, 33rd between 5th and Madison in New York City, across the street from, I'm told, the Empire State Building.
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
It's across the street from Staples, actually.
It's not as romantic.
Wait, this is across the street from Staples?
It is.
So if you need
Foley's, you've not gone far enough.
Yeah, don't go to Foley's. You might be tempted.
Don't.
Do not.
Don't.
Do not. Come to our event. We'd love to see everybody. And at first I was worried because I hear that. Did you check the fire marshal sign on the building?
There is a sign.
What does it say?
What is the amount? What is the amount? The top number of people?
Well, give me a rough ballpark.
I don't even know.
17 would be bad.
No, they're moving furniture to accommodate us.
Well, now I'm going to feel bad if 17 show up.
I think we'll have
They're going to stack it like kindling in the corner.
Come one, come all. We would love to see everybody. You'll be there. Mary Jo Foley will be there. Paul Thurrott will be there. I'll be there. Lisa will be there.
My wife will be there.
Dick D. Bartolo will be there.
Yep.
I asked Jeff Jarvis. I think he cannot make it. I think we've asked Gina. I don't know if she can make it. But it's the four of us is a pretty good start right there. Yep. We've never done a... I'm sorry, my phone is ringing. Oh, it's Audi of Marin. I'll just let him leave a message.
It's like, whoomp, there it is. And then I like big butts as the ringtones.
I think that would be a good ringtone. I might just change that right now. It's
put this do not disturb on. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be a lot of fun. Everybody should come. It is a bar, but they serve food, so I'm told that means the young'uns are allowed as well as the old'uns. So everybody come.
The food is good, too.
Yeah, I'm going to have lunch there, I think, so I might get there a little bit early.
It has a tremendous beer selection.
And beer. And by 5 o'clock, I should be, what is it they say, three sheets to the wind.
They do say that. And if you want to order wine, you can, but you have to withstand the baleful glare.
Oh, really?
Of the server people.
What do you mean, wine?
What I mean, they'll serve it to you, but they'll do it with the proper amount of disrespect.
So I won't. That means I will not be here tomorrow for our Apple coverage. But don't worry, it's in good hands. Mike Elgin, Megan Maroney. I think Andy's going to join. Well, I don't know. Actually, Andy's busy, I guess, because he's going to Colbert. But we'll have great coverage for you, and then Mac Break with you right after. So that's why we're here today with Windows Weekly. Where do you want to start? You want to start with this HP story and the Dell story? So this is, what was the computer we were looking at last week that we thought?
That was a Lenovo.
That was a Lenovo. We thought, they must be licensing that from Microsoft. That's a duplicate.
So we have a little bit of information about that.
Yeah.
But so let's get to the get to the point first.
Yeah, let's talk about the main story first, which is today, a day before Apple's expected to roll out the new iPad for business users, Microsoft announced new partnerships with Dell and HP and Avanade to make sure that they're really beefing up their business capabilities on Surface Pro. So what's going to happen is Dell and HP are actually going to resell Microsoft Surface Pro. They're not going to make them. They're not going to put their own branding on them. They're going to take them and sell them through their sales channels.
That's weird.
Right?
Wow.
But here's why. Here's why they're doing it. Really, the reason they're doing it is they're acting as resellers. And these companies want to get their services in the hands of more business users. So they're taking the Surface Pro and they're adding in all these services like configuration and deployment, accidental damage, warranty, all those kind of services that enterprise customers really want to have. And they're acting as resellers in this case. So Microsoft struck these deals. They announced them today, kind of meant to blunt the force of the Apple iPad Pros.
They that's interesting that you think this is in response to rumor about Apple doing a 12.9-inch iPad.
For sure.
Interesting. Because, you know, you could say that the 12.9-inch iPad Pro is a response to the Surface Pro, right? I mean, that wouldn't be unreasonable.
Well, but, you know, come on, I mean, Apple is Apple. In fact, I started a story today that I think I might call, like, Apple Matters or something. And it's sort of one of those things, like, you have to kind of remind people, I think, in our sphere that everyone... A lot of people kind of like to knee-jerk just like not like Apple or just, you know, discount Apple. But, I mean, if they enter this market, that is a big deal. I mean, in some ways, so it legitimizes. Legitimizes, thank you. Legitimizes, as we say here in Denver.
Legitimate mad
this kind of form factor device. And, I mean, I think that's how the world has changed.
But it's
so
funny because it really is Microsoft that legitimizes that with the Surface. It really looks like Apple's responding by offer, and this is rumor, all rumor. Right. But at this point in the game,
they're not responding; they're innovating, Leo. I don't know what you mean by that.
At this point in the game, this kind of rumor is probably accurate. We'll know tomorrow. An iPad Pro, 12.9 inches with optional keyboard and stylus, much like the Surface Pro. Of course, it'll be it'll be different because the Surface Pro runs a full blown desktop operating system. Yeah.
Right.
Whereas this will run iOS.
But, you know, again, there are pros and cons to both approaches.
Yeah.
And the cons on the iOS side become less and less over time as that system matures.
There's no file access to the file system.
But maybe there will be on the Pro.
Oh, that'd be interesting. They say it won't be iOS 9. It'll be iOS 9.1. But I think that that's an awfully big jump. I would be shocked if there were some sort of file system access on that thing.
Yeah.
Well, but that's not what they're selling with an iPad.
Are they, and who are they going after with these? Are they really going after enterprises?
Must be.
Or are they going after, small businesses, right?
And students, by the way. I mean, I do not think they're going specifically after the enterprise, but as we had kind of discussed earlier, I think Apple has seen success in the enterprise just almost through osmosis. I mean, they don't have to target the Enterprise for this to, you know, see success there necessarily. I don't think V1 is going to, you know, take over for laptops or anything, but it'd be interesting if Apple hit on something that actually was really successful with businesses, because that's been a bit of a, you know, an issue for it on computing devices. I mean, obviously, phones especially are huge in the Enterprise.
Right. Yeah, and I think today's announcement, Microsoft's part of its announcement, was meant to say, whatever they announce tomorrow, we're already thinking, like, how to make it for giant enterprises to buy this in huge volumes and deploy it multinationally. Like, they're trying to say, we're leaps and bounds ahead of where Apple is, right?
By the worm
and by
turned.
The way, as far as...
I'm almost... This is culture shock for me to hear that Microsoft is announcing this before Apple can get and make an announcement to preempt the announcement of something that will validate the tablet / what do you call this, convertible market?
Yeah, two-in-one.
That's just
what
weird.
Tim Cook call it, a refrigerator with an oven built into it or something?
Right.
Yeah, Intel, you know, in fact, we run ads for Intel promoting the two-in-one. Mm-hmm. That's what they call it. And that's the Lenovo Yoga, the Surface Pro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like that a big iPad is anywhere near that category. It's an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean,
Mary Jo, would you go out? You hear Mary Jo loves using Notepad. You don't.
Well, Mary Jo hates Apple with a burning passion.
Yeah, but Mary Jo barely uses the features of Windows. So would you buy this?
What does Notepad look like on an iPad?
No, if I were in an enterprise where things that would matter to me would be like corporate deployment of apps or a business store, managing things through group policy. If I cared about those things and I wasn't an office of one, I would care about getting something like the Surface Pro.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Because those are things businesses care about. They care about 24/7 support. You know, those are the things that we're talking about, like those kind of features that businesses care about, not can you run Notepad. I'm a fringe case. Like Steve Gibson.
I think we're all technically fringe cases. In some capacity.
But so you imagine this for the student who would otherwise buy a Surface?
No, would otherwise only Surface Pros, right? Not the plain old Surface 3, which is more like the student play. But again, you know, with what Microsoft's doing with Windows 10, there's a lot of enterprise management baked into Windows 10 for education customers. So if you're a college and you're thinking, we want to deploy, you know, thousands of Surfaces for our students, you would care about these kind of features.
Yeah. You're not going down to the Microsoft store and buying them.
No. Buying one or two or 1,000. Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, it's all part of Microsoft's expansion of the reseller channel for Surfaces. They announced in July that they were expanding the number of distributors who could carry the Surface from a couple hundred to a few thousand. Yeah. This is part of that whole expansion of the channel. Finally, they're making enough Surfaces to be able to sell them in bulk to companies and colleges and whoever else who wants to buy them that way.
So it's no accident that it's Dell and HP are the first two companies to announce this, especially HP. HP is a services company. In fact, they're getting out of the PC business.
Yeah, it's funny, though. We know more about what Dell's doing here than we know about what HP is doing. HP, we just know they've committed to being part of this, but we don't have particulars. In Dell's case, we know as of early October, they're going to actually start rolling this out in North America. And we have the list of services that they're going to provide. So we actually know a lot more about what Dell's doing here than HP.
Dell's in the enterprise. We have Dell switches. Yeah. We have a lot of Dell equipment in the kind of the enterprise side of the equation. But I always thought of it as the workstation side, not so much the services side. So for people who don't know what we're talking about, when you're like an HP or an IBM is really the kind of the quintessential services company. A company will hire you to implement an entire massive IT strategy, thousands of seats. You know, who's going to run it? How's going to manage it? What are the builds are going to be? You come in, and of course, in the process, you sell a lot of hardware. HP's always, this has been HP's big business for years. So you're saying Dell is kind of the same in that respect.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of these companies want to get everything from one place.
Yeah.
And sometimes even have the hardware vendor actually put their their image of Windows with all their right. custom things in it on all these machines, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. It's a turnkey, for a lot of these companies, it's a turnkey solution. Yep. They're evil. You're evil corp.
The other company that's part of this agreement that's very interesting, if you want to do the Apple-Microsoft comparison, is Avanade and Accenture. So Accenture is this big consultancy. Avanade is the joint venture that Accenture and Microsoft created together, like that made a separate company. And these guys are going to develop Windows 10 business apps, yeah. just the way that IBM's doing this for Apple, right? They're going to do universal Windows apps for business customers for Microsoft as part of this program, too.
So really, very similar. This is as much a response to IBM Apple as it is to an iPad Pro.
Interesting.
You think?
Yep.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, as the IBM deal generated much interest or excitement or sales, or has that turned into anything?
Headlines.
Yeah, but it takes a while. I mean, they have released hundreds of enterprise iOS apps, and you know, we don't. I mean, I don't know what it means in terms of sales. We don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I presume it means that when the IBM guy comes in and says, "Okay, we're going to set you up," then among other things, they talk about iPads. Although, whose PCs do they bring in? Whose workstations do they bring in? Whose servers do they bring in? I don't know. Because IBM doesn't make any of those.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas Dell does. Dell does.
Aside from the enterprise aspect of this story, I find the timing to be interesting on two fronts. Obviously, Apple's got their announcement tomorrow, but Microsoft has a little announcement coming up in October.
Oh, yeah?
And rather than wait on October to announce this, which, by the way, this isn't being implemented until October.
Oh, interesting.
They said, this is about Surface Pro, without saying Surface Pro 3, which is something they've normally done every time it involves Surface Pro 3, very explicitly said Surface Pro 3, and said, we will be doing this in early October. And I actually think this is a Surface Pro 4 announcement, very specific to Surface Pro 4. And I think that that highlights why they did this today, because Apple is announcing the iPad Pro tomorrow. It was just a little bit of a
news. Yep, that confirms why else?
Suggests that.
Why else today,
Makes sense. Yeah. Except that the other date we don't know. We know Microsoft's going to do some kind of a Surface announcement in October. We're pretty sure of that as part of that Big Bang hardware launch. But when is it actually going to be available, the Surface Pro 4? I bet not the day they announce it.
Oh, not October. You're right. There's never been a Surface that's been released the day they announce it. That's true.
No. So, yeah, maybe this deal will begin and you know, businesses can start kicking the tires and talking to Dell.
They can order these things, and then they'll get them whenever they come out, late October, early November, whatever it is.
Right. So. And the fact that this is a Windows 10 announcement, it's very specific to Windows 10, also makes you think it's not about Surface Pro 3, because you can run Windows 10 on Surface Pro 3 if you put it on there, but it's not a machine that's shipped with Windows 10, right?
So. Yeah, I don't know if they've switched them over or not, but yeah. I think it's all kind of pointing to this. You know, we obviously have information we know about Surface Pro 4 and the timing and all that. And I just find the vagueness of this announcement, if you look at everything else they've said about Surface this year, they've always been very specific about which version they were talking about. And this time they just said Surface Pro. You know, it's possible they'll keep Surface Pro 3 in the market for some time. It could apply to both Surface Pro 3 and 4. But I really think that this thing is really tied to Surface Pro 4.
And that will be a Skylake-based device.
Presumably, yeah.
In fact, Intel even said, you know, when they announced Skylake last week, they said designed with Windows 10 in mind, in conjunction with Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And I actually asked about that. We had Ian Cutress on from Anontech, and he'd done a kind of deep dive on the new Skylake. And I said, is that just marketing hype? He said, no, in fact, it's not. That there really are some things that Microsoft worked with Intel on for Skylake.
Right, right.
I forgot what they were. I think it was power management, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I think fast switching. There was some fast switching stuff too, right?
And maybe HCI is different. Older machines won't. You know, that's the other push Intel's making with Skylake is your five-year-old machine is 5 years old.
Yeah. I just, on a slightly related topic, I just went around and looked at all the computers in the house that aren't mine. You know, my kids and my wife's computers. Wife's. I don't have multiple wives. And not in this lifetime. And
nobody got time for that.
Yeah, no time or energy. And there were... with the exception of one low-end HP Stream laptop, which is new but low power or low end, everyone in the family is using really old computers. In fact, I kind of feel like I've ignored this for a while. But they're all kind of due for an upgrade. I bet that's very common.
It's funny because I asked my son and daughter going back to college, you need new computers? Nope.
Yeah. No, that's interesting because I had very similar answers for my own kids. Nope. So why is that?
Because it's good enough and nobody really is convinced. I understand why Intel's marketing it this way, but nobody's really convinced they need a new computer. This is a problem Apple faces with the iPad. It's a problem I think every PC manufacturer faces, which is they made them fast enough 5 years ago. And that's tough for Windows 10 because, of course, that means they're using Windows 7.
Yeah, my kids are both using Windows 7. We're both very ambivalent about new computers.
And even an upgrade to 10, I bet.
They don't care about that.
No, okay, that's interesting. So,
They just don't.
So Michael, our 12-year-old, has a Windows gaming machine because he's a gamer. Yeah. And I said, can I upgrade it to 10? He said, I don't care. Yeah. It's like they don't even, it's like, so what?
Whatever. If
it makes you happy, whatever. Because they're in the game. They're in their programs.
I could feel them drifting to sleep as I explained what I was trying to do.
Yeah, they don't care.
It was just like, whatever. Just.
So the hesitation is they don't want to, as somebody in the chat room said, Dallas says, they don't want to reinstall their stuff. But if you can upgrade in place, that's fine. Whatever makes you happy, Dad.
I don't think they care. Just take it and be quiet about it.
Yeah. Just get out of my way.
I don't want to understand what you're doing. I don't care.
Isn't that weird? And where did we go wrong, Paul?
Well, no, it's not necessarily us. I'm sure I've gone wrong in my own way in some ways. But I mean, I think, just to keep it to technology, there are iPads and Chromebooks being used in school. My son told me that he would do most of his heavy-duty typing on the computers at school. And when he came home, he could just edit the documents lightly and, check for whatever on his iPad. And he found over the last year he used the laptop a lot less than he used to. And my daughter, slightly different reasons, but kind of the same effect. I mean, she just didn't use it that much compared to how it was, say, a year previous or whatever. So they're really kind of ambivalent about it.
They're tools. It's, I remember running into, by the way, just so you know, I'm back here again. Seems like every week I'm doing this, upgrading Windows. Is that a new threshold? 10.5.32. Yeah,
there's
something?
A new cumulative update. Yeah. Okay. All right.
5.32 is the last
5.32.
One.
That's only our generation cares about this. Do you remember Next Step, Richard Hart, the guy? It was a TV show talking about the future, and it was very big in the 90s. And Richard Hart now is teaching televisions at the Academy of Art here in San Francisco. And I ran into him and said, Richard, how you doing? I said, it must be great for you to have a classroom full of kids who grew up with the internet, grew up with computers, are really computer literate. He said, you know what, Leo? They're not. He said, we had to be. Because we had to fight it every step of the way. So we had to use this stuff. For them, it's just an appliance. It's just a tool. They have no interest. They don't care. I think this is probably universal.
The car thing where people used to have to know how to fix the car to use it. And you would be sort of disdainful of the younger generation that came along and
your kids
didn't have to learn a stick shift, didn't have to learn how to... Yeah, it's...
Your kids and your electronic starters.
Well, I'm still kind of surprised your son doesn't want Windows 10 though because of the game streaming thing. He doesn't care about that.
Doesn't know, I bet.
No.
Yeah.
No, he spends a lot. By the way, but he spends a lot of time on the Xbox One. He does use that a lot, and he plays games very socially, which I sort of don't do. I play online, but I don't. Once a month, I'll play with a group of guys I know, but it's typically just me against the world. But he plays very socially with other kids, Madden or whatever is the new thing. That multiple people can play at the same time. And he plays games on his phone. And I think his phone now is an iPhone. So I was going to say to a lesser degree, I don't think he uses his iPad for anything other than school. I think he just uses his phone, for that. And he plays those, the type of touch games, whatever. But I think that's enough for him. I don't think he needs to. The PC is kind of superfluous at this point for him, I think. I mean, he does use a PC at school, he said, but
he games mostly on the Xbox, not on the computer.
Yep. Oh, no, he doesn't game on the computer at all.
Michael games on everything. Xbox One, which is mine in my office. Xbox 360, which is in the media room. And he'll sit down at the PC because that's where he plays Counter-Strike. And
I very rarely, I mean, I'm going to do it. I've done a little bit of PC gaming this year. But like mobile gaming is one of those things, like, as, because I do play games all the time, I always thought that would be a big deal. And over the course of years, I have bought and downloaded and installed many, many mobile games. And I've really only played a handful of them and like actually played them more than just sitting there looking at it for 10 minutes. And if I were to count the number of games I've actually completed all the way through, maybe one hand. I mean, there's a couple and some of them are very, very good. And I've recommended a few mobile games. There are some beautiful mobile games out there, but I just don't, I don't, when I have a couple of spare minutes on the train or whatever it is with my phone, I don't go right to games. I see what's going on in the world, if it's on Facebook or the news or that kind of stuff. I mean, I just don't. I read. I don't know.
Am I boring?
I don't know.
What's wrong with you? Read.
A lot of it is reading.
You're old man.
I know. Sorry. I like to learn.
What do you think? Somebody in the chat room is asking this. As long as we're putting Mary Jo to sleep, might as well just go all the way.
Going. Sure. Keep going with the gaming one. I'm the one who brought it up.
Xbox a couple more times. We'll see if we can get her to actually nod
Well,
off.
Somebody in the chat room asked, and I think this is an interesting question. Apple, the new Apple TV that's rumored to be announced tomorrow will have gaming. I have an Android TV, the NVIDIA Shield.
That's completely uninteresting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It's like mobile games on your big TV.
I've watched people get really excited about this possibility, but what I can tell you is I've done the Roku thing where you turn the controller sideways and it looks like a Nintendo controller. The Fire TV, I've got a hand controller. It looks like an Xbox controller. The Google, whatever the new one is called, Nexus Player. I don't have the controller, but they have games on that as well. And I just could not care less about that stuff. I just couldn't care less.
Partly because Roku's just a horrific experience.
It's terrible. But, I mean, you know, on Fire TV, actually, it's probably the best case. They have Android games they bring forward. They specifically build in controller support for them, racing games. Yeah. You know, they make sense. I personally, I just don't care. I the one thing I'll say about Apple, and this is just like what I said about the iPad Pro, you know, they do them doing it. Legitimizes. What's the word?
Legitimizes.
It's a legitimizes. I don't know why I can't say this. This market in some ways. They do have a very faithful user base. They've got incredible developers that make high-quality games and apps and so forth. It is possible that this, you know, could this be like a threat to Xbox or PlayStation? I mean, it's not going to have the same quality graphics, obviously. But, you know, could they potentially get a bigger audience going? It's possible. I mean, personally, I just don't.
I don't think so, because the Apple TV undersells even the Fire TV. Even I mean, it's just not. It's not a big. It's not a big deal.
But they don't have apps yet. See, I mean, they don't have apps that, you know, third party apps. I mean,
I think the days when Apple could force something down people's throats. Well, look at Apple Music, which is going to be a flop.
Yeah, until they fix it. I got an article about that going too. But there's a. If you look at Apple TV right now, what you see is the iPhone in 2007. It's whatever they give you and nothing more. Now, I mean, I know there are third-party things in there, but Apple has to approve it.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice. The best you can
it's
do
very
is
limited.
You
can
move them around. It's pointless.
Apple hasn't updated it in years, really.
If they get it right, who can say?
Right.
Who can say?
Yeah, it's interesting.
I just don't want to discount it because it's easy to discount anything. You know, Apple and they often surprise us, so we'll see. But constantly. I just don't personally have any interest in this stuff.
All right.
Sorry, Mary Jo.
We're done now, Mary Jo.
It's fine, guys. You got it out of the way early.
We got it out of the way. Well, you could always come back. You never know. It's like gaming's like zombies. In fact, gaming against zombies is really zombies. Best kind.
Remember when in Call of Duty they came out with the Nazi zombies?
Nazi zombies.
And I was like, these are the perfect enemies. It's like the no guilt. Yeah. No guilt.
You blow them up like crazy.
Shooting these things, zero guilt.
No guilt.
Nazis and zombies.
They're the worst. Perfect. They're as low as you can get.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to take a break right now.
After that.
I'm so sorry. I need a shower. Our show today brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda is a great place to go for people like you, people who listen to this show, because I know by virtue of you listening that you're a lifelong learner, that you like to fill your brain with knowledge, you're curious, you want to make things happen, you're a doer. That's what Lynda.com is for. Maybe you want to take better photos. Maybe you want to master Microsoft Office. Maybe you want to get a better job or ask for a raise, negotiate a raise. Lynda.com has everything you need to feed that curious mind. L-Y-N-D-A.com. They've been doing it for years. Lynda's the best. They've mastered this. They're beautifully shot. These aren't YouTube videos. These are good quality productions. Great screenshots you can actually see. They've got transcripts you can follow along with, courseware, notes, more than 3,000 courses. Have you always, you know, I'm a big advocate for learning how to code, not necessarily as a professional thing, but just because it's like the most fun you can have. I just love programming. And whether you're an experienced programmer or you're just somebody who says, you know, I would like to learn how to code, Lynda.com has some great courses for you. Up and running with ASP.NET 5. This is worthy of Paul Theroux. I can see him digging. You could write a book this big on it. Installing and administering Microsoft SQL Server 2014. Java Essential Training. These are actually great job skills. Understanding Microsoft Azure Core functionalities. Mary Jo has got to get excited about that. They probably even have Hadoop courses. There are also new multi-part series on Visual Studio 2015 Essentials and Database Fundamentals. I mean, Lynda.com is the bee's knees, as my grandma Eddie used to say. With the Lynda.com, I don't know. I didn't have a grandma Eddie, but if I did, that's what she would have said. It's the bee's knees. With a Lynda.com membership, you are learning from the best. I mean, if you're learning Photoshop from Burt Monroy, come on. Photography from people like Derek Story and Ben Long. Come on. You can't get better than that. These are the best. They're working in the field, and they're great teachers. And most importantly, they're passionate about the material. So you really get, you kind of, that rubs off on you. That's what you want in a teacher, somebody who's not just going through the motions, but somebody who loves this stuff. And you will love it, too. Download tutorials and watch them on the go as well on your iOS or Android device. Lynda.com, here's what we're going to do. The way it works is you pay once a month a flat fee, or you can even buy a yearly subscription. It makes it very affordable, and you don't have to pick ahead of time which courses you want to take. You can jump around if you want. But we're going to get you that experience for 10 days free. So right now, go to Lynda, LYNDA.com/windows. 10 days, the run of the place. You could, you know, take a whole course, maybe a couple, beginning to end. Or you could just try, sample a few. I mean, it's great. Do it just for fun to see if you like it. I think you will. A lot of companies, including ours, buy Lynda.com for their employees because it's a great way to keep your employees' skills up. LYNDA.com/windows. We thank them so much for their support of Windows Weekly. Paul Theroux, Mary Jo Foley. There's nobody better. Nobody better. We tried. We looked for him. We couldn't find him.
What's the better accolade? The bee's knees or the cat's pajamas?
The cat's pajamas. You're the tops. You're the Eiffel Tower.
Yep.
You're the best. You're a rainfall shower. I think that's wrong. Baby,
sounds
you're
good.
The bottom, I'm the top. No, wait a minute. That's really wrong. Moving on. Windows 10. 10.532. Have you been playing with that, Paul? I'm on the fast ring now.
Oh. Yeah.
I get all that stuff.
That's a nice pair of suspenders you got there, by the way.
Mary Jo already complimented me.
On them.
That's very Jeffrey Snover-esque. Did she say
it
that?
Is.
Who's Jeffrey Snover?
He's the latest Microsoft fellow.
Hey, who was that guy with the hat and the Hawaiian shirt at IFA?
I know. Oh, you mean the guy from...
Brian Roper.
Brian Roper. He was a character.
From Dexter?
Yeah, he's the guy from Dexter. By the way, I just love my login picture for Windows.
Well,
oh, boy. And am I wrong? Doesn't that look like a basement window? Like I'm stuck in the basement and the sun is shining.
Yep. And the poltergeist is coming.
Yeah.
Out.
They're here.
You need Paul's wallpaper.
I'm surprised there wasn't more of a change.
I got bigger briefly. Hi. Oh, this again. Oh, crap.
It will go pretty quick.
This is 10.532. I hate that. This won't take long.
No. Relax.
Sit back and enjoy the ride.
I'm going to have a sandwich.
Have a sandwich. Oh, boy. All right. While I'm installing the upgrade, is there anything to say about it?
Well, 5:32. Well, Leo, that's old news.
Oh, have you already moved on? No, what are you in the hyper ring?
You see, Leo.
Ludicrous. He's in the ludicrous ring.
I mean, how old is 5:32? This was over a week ago, right?
Has it? Has it been
a week
long?
And a half ago, something like that?
Oh, maybe. I'm behind.
August 27th. Bill 105.
August 27th?
What?
Really?
That oh, no. Longer? Come on, then. What? So
yeah, you're right. You're
have
right.
I not updated since then? That's crazy.
No, no. So this holiday. Is the update that brought the right-click menu. So if you right-click on the desktop, for example.
Okay.
Or if you right-click within File Explorer or anywhere, really, I guess in the start menu probably works.
Right-clicking.
Well, the start
menu's a little
different.
Oh, it doesn't do anything.
But whenever you get in there,
yeah.
What you'll see is that the right-click menus are getting a lot more consistent.
Good.
And so, actually, this is something people have complained about. You know, it's like complaining about the old font dialogue that's been there since Windows 95 or whatever.
It's just, this is the real. We're getting closer to the real Windows 10.
I think it's nice looking.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I had this on my Dell 525. I don't know why I thought that was new. I've had this for a while. I guess
yeah, so maybe this week we'll get another one and we can go through this again. That will be fun. And then, you know, I mean, we've seen some leak build stuff, the new icons coming, you know, colors and all that kind of stuff. And that's all good stuff.
Plus, they hinted today in the blog post about Dell and HP that there's going to be some enterprise stuff coming to insiders this month, right? So there's going to be the Windows Store for Business. There's going to be some new Passport stuff for authentication and also enterprise data protection, which keeps data from leaking. It keeps your consumer data and your business data separate. So all the insiders are going to get to try those out sometime this month, they said. So probably a new build, maybe.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. It would be a new build.
I have to say, I really am. I mean, Windows 10 just goes right back to the days of the good old days, you know? I mean, you mentioned
you know
this right-click
I'll take that
menu.
One a step further. This is better than the good old days.
Yeah.
Because it really is. Because we can choose to be insiders, can choose to be on the fast ring.
No, I like
and,
that.
And get
absolutely.
New stuff. I mean, it's if you like doing this kind of stuff, I mean, there was always a little bit of a letdown at the end of a beta when you sort of thought, like, I sort of enjoyed doing this, and now it's over, and for the next, you know, 2 years or whatever, we're going to be not stuck with, but using the same kind of build, and we'll get, you know, obviously there'll be updates and everything, but it not like this. I mean, I think there's a certain group of people that's going to really just love this time, you know, for this reason.
And also, if you don't want to be on the fast ring, which I am still not, you can opt not to.
Right.
Although, Mary Jo, if you were on the fast ring, what would you have right now, your favorite feature of all time?
I know.
What's
don't
that?
Remind me.
What's
well,
that?
It's in our notes. Conversation view in Windows 10 Mail is now able to be disabled only if you're on the fast ring.
I don't like conversation view.
I hate conversation view. Hate is not too strong a word.
Oh, man.
It's terrible.
Wow.
No, but at least now it's a choice. When we first got Windows 10, you had to take it, conversation view. There was no way to turn it off. I just haven't been using Mail. Luckily, I haven't been using Mail since it's been broken for me for the past 5 days again.
Where do I turn off this?
Yeah, so on the lower left, there's a gear. Yeah, click that. And then I think it's in Options.
Options.
And it's down in the middle, View Settings, right there.
There it is.
So messages arranged by conversations. Yep. So it's
turn
on by default.
Off. Yeah, okay.
Turn
okay.
it on.
Okay, okay, okay.
This is a big deal. I mean,
just for that.
I wish they would. So obviously, when you do things over from scratch, which clearly happened with this and many other of these universal apps, there are what we call regressions, right? Where these features you kind of relied on in the past are just kind of gone. And so it's neat in some ways when they do things over because some things are better, but then you lose things. And the thing that I really miss from Mail, and this is a big problem on phone because I use this in Windows Phone every day, is linked inboxes. And it's an optional feature, you know, but it gives you the ability to have a single view of the incoming mail for all of your accounts in one place. And when you select one, if you reply to it or forward it or archive it or whatever, obviously it goes to the right account. In Windows 10 and Windows 10 Mobile today, you have to go in and out of the account and look at the inbox for each account separately. That's kind of ponderous.
Have they said they're ever going to change that? Or is that, are we just assuming
that they've ever addressed that one? I don't know.
I've never heard anything.
That's a big regression, I think, because that was one of the cool features about Windows Phone, and it was one of the things where you could see what we think, what do they call it, like deep linking of live tiles, where when you added an account, you would get a live tile for that account. But if you link the inboxes, you could give it a name like mail, and it would give you a single link to all of your mail in one place. It was a pretty, it is still a very powerful feature. It's just missing in Windows 10.
How many installs do we have now? Are they keeping a running count? Is there an odometer on the Microsoft site?
I'm sure there is somewhere. Awesome.
Clicked over, yeah, a dashboard for Mr. Nadella.
So according to Brad, 81.5 million or just 81? I guess he's writing 81.5 million installs.
What was the, did they have a stated
goal? Well, it was 1 billion within, what was it, 2 or 3 years, they said?
Oh.
It was 75 million 2 weeks ago.
That was a goal, or that was the number? That was the number.
That was the number.
That was that's the official number.
It's obviously,
on I would expect we're going to hear about 100 million at whatever point.
Oh yeah. So there must. Well, we said this a couple of weeks ago. They're feeling pretty good. This is a success.
Yeah, I think they're feeling.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. What does this mean? Windows 10 for the past 6 days. Boo.
Oh man. I meant to add the word mail. My mail has been broken.
Oh, this is what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, on RTM version of Windows 10. I noticed a couple days ago it was no longer syncing. My mail hasn't synced in 6 days now.
And yikes.
The problem is people are all giving me advice on Twitter. They're saying select the account and change this option, change that option. Well, the problem is when I go into my mail and try to select an account, I can't even select the account. I can't uninstall and reinstall. I can't do anything. I'm just stuck.
Wow.
So I hope this cumulative update and maybe another update to mail coming soon will fix this. Luckily, like I said, I'm not using mail because I don't have conversation view disablement in it. I'm just using Outlook.com on the web, and I'm using Office 365 on the web. If I were dependent on Windows 10 mail right now, I would be hosed because I have not gotten any mail or been able to send any mail from my Windows 10 machine in 6 days.
Is that other people having that? I mean, or is that?
Yep. Other people are having it too.
Huh.
Yeah. But not everybody. Another one of these ones, not everybody.
Yeah.
So
I don't use it, but when I turned it on, I got mail.
Yeah. You know, remember when I was saying the store was broken for me for 6 days? Also, that was also just some people had that and not everyone.
So Mary Jo, you're never happy, you know?
I'm never happy.
Your store works. I mean, you can't just
I need
be
to
happy
become a
that.
Mac user.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
I'm not that unhappy.
No.
Let's be clear.
not that nice.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. But you use Outlook, though, and Outlook, I'm sure, is working, right?
Yeah. Well, Outlook using Windows Mail as the front end, not working, but Outlook.com on the web is working.
Oh, so you're not using Office Outlook on your desktop.
I just use web interfaces for this
stuff. Yeah, I'm just using the web.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, using a Microsoft email client within a Microsoft email service may be different because obviously
they have Exchange and...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if you want all the actual features that are available in that account, usually you get them right from the web.
Really?
You
know? Yeah.
Wow. Definitely.
I do. I don't, yeah. That's how I do
people
it.
People are telling me to uninstall mail from PowerShell. I've had a few people tell me this. Guys, I write about PowerShell. I do not use PowerShell. Sorry.
So you can, there's some command line. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's no one. It comes with
there's
Windows.
Well,
so what they're saying is, in other words, in Windows 8 or 8.1, you could uninstall any app that came with Windows.
Right.
In Windows 10, there are some core apps, several of them, you cannot uninstall normally. You can't right-click on it. And so what they're saying is there is a way to do this with PowerShell, and I'm sure they would gladly supply you with the exact commands you need, and then you could go to the store and download them. And,
I have it. But, guys, it shouldn't be like that. If I'm scared, normal users are more scared. Or actually, they don't even know what PowerShell is. So,
And by the way, this speaks to why would they not let you uninstall these things? It's so silly.
I know. Especially if you want to uninstall and reinstall the mail client, right?
Because it's just for this reason, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and if you're using the built-in Windows mail client, you're probably not a PowerShell user. PowerShell users,
The overlap between mail users
probably
and PowerShell
fairly
is
small. Yeah.
Two circles that are barely touching each other.
Yeah, I'm thinking exactly.
Yep.
You're probably using Mutt or a Pine or Elm if you're really,
Pegasus.
Pegasus. I love Pegasus.
Sure.
There's Eudora. A name I haven't heard in a while. Do you use Pegasus?
No. not in this century, Leo. I mean, I've used all of these things in the past.
So, Mary Jo, it's simple. All you have to do is launch an elevated PowerShell shell.
I just run a cron shell
to
against
get
the
dash appx package, your package name, remove a pipe, remove x appx package, yep. For instance.
I know.
And then mail, you could just do communi. Communi.
Because the name of the package is like communication.
So you had to know that. So just type get dash appx package star communi star pipe remove dash appx package. I don't understand what's so hard about that.
How many Snicker bars did you eat during that? And, you know, how many 2 liter bottles of Red Mountain Dew?
Mr. Potato Head. All right. Well, anyway. I'm using Mutt now. I decided that the best way to do this is from the command line.
Yep. Yeah. Leo, I would say the only way. You know? The only way.
Did we already take a peek at future builds?
We did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We mentioned, what is his name? Brian?
Brian Roper.
The guy in the hat.
Guy who used to be a cruise
like, who are you talking
ship
about?
Piano player.
I thought for sure he'd have done a stint at the carnival selling Cutco knives. Maybe
he used to be a singer cookware on a cruise ship.
Well, there you go. That's close enough.
Yeah.
We got up early. We got up early because it was 7 in the morning, I think.
You're referring to Sergeant Angel Batista.
Yes, that's it.
From Dexter.
It's Angel Batista from Dexter. You know, suspenders, Hawaiian shirt, the whole thing. Funny hat. He was very personable, charming.
He was great. He's great.
The sad thing is they never got a camera shot of what he's talking about. It was the best demo of the back of laptop PCs I'd ever seen.
It was it was just terrible the way they handled that.
It was fun to watch. Thank God we had Mike Elgin here, Paul here. You guys did a great job of enlivening it. And frankly,
I felt like I was overseeing a funeral.
It was good enough that I would actually go back and watch the Twit Live specials, Microsoft at IFA, because you guys were hysterical. Who was that? Who was the third guy on there?
The Brad Sams.
Brad Sams, that's right. Yeah. It was a great show. Anyway.
Thank you. But it was,
missed opportunity for Microsoft, probably. They had an audience.
Well, I don't know. So, Mary Jo, we never really talked about this. And what do you think? Yeah. What was your take on this keynote? Was this, should we have just expected this and rolled with it? Or I was disappointed.
I didn't expect they were going to show anything brand new because they've already said big shows like IFA, CES, it's not really a show for Microsoft to announce stuff. So I wasn't thinking there was going to be some bombshell revelation. I did think they might show some OEM devices that we hadn't seen or things to kind of get people excited about Windows 10, but not really. That didn't happen.
I actually got kind of excited about the gaming laptop that had the twin exhausts out the back.
Yeah, the Asus, I think it was.
Okay, so
that bit was interesting. Not so much for that specific machine, per se, although that was fine.
It made me want it.
But, you know, HP, Dell, Lenovo, also this week we saw from them. They're all looking at gaming as a growth market in an overall market, PCs, that is not doing very well right now. And I find that to be kind of interesting. In other words, they sort of survey the land as it is, and they say, well, okay, where can we make money? And gaming PCs are interesting because they're not inexpensive.
No,
the margins must be tremendous.
$2,000 for this thing.
Yeah, and the people who buy these things are serious. You know, they're very enthusiastic customers. So maybe there's something to it. My only issue with it is I don't think the market for this kind of device is like a big volume market. I don't think this is a huge market.
You know, who else is looking at gaming as a huge savior is Microsoft, right? I mean, that's why they played up the gaming part of Windows 10 and why they bought Minecraft. Right. And, you know, they're looking at gaming as the key to their success in the store because they've noted that most of the paid successful apps in all app stores are games. So you're hearing that from them also. And I think the OEMs are just reflecting that because it's a big theme for Windows 10.
This thing's a big bucks.
Well, it is 17 inches. I mean, the thing is huge.
Sure. I mean, 24 gigs of RAM. That's hilarious.
It comes with a lot of RAM. I don't know. I mean, I presume this is good enough to play Crysis or Far Cry or whatever the tough games are.
This speaks to something we talked about, I don't know, two, three weeks ago. We were talking about, at the time, phones and high-res screens versus battery life and all that kind of stuff. And I think, you know, in gaming, obviously, this is a debate because higher-res games are more beautiful to look at. But if you keep it to, say, 1080p, which is what this machine is, you can get more consistent frame rates. It still looks good, and I think that kind of thing is probably of more interest to most gamers, especially on a portable device.
There's probably no battery life on this. Look at these dual
exhausts. It's probably
exhausts.
17 minutes of battery.
It's got passive heat pipes.
Yeah, look at those things.
They blow out
you
the
back. If you like like driving a 70 station wagon up a hill, and you can watch the gas mileage go down as you go up.
But man, you bring that to a LAN party.
Sure.
It's like bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Overcompensate much?
Yeah, right. I got an F-150 here. Gaming machine. It's a rig. This is not a gamer. It's not a computer.
I wanted something that
rig.
Was bigger than an Xbox One. Do you have anything like that?
I am so tempted to buy it because I think my puny manhood needs something like this.
Well, so what I would say to you, though, is look at HP's gaming machines. Look at Lenovo's. They just announced some new stuff this week. This is suddenly a very wide open market.
I know they don't sell a lot, but it's got to be a high margin.
Yeah,
it has to be. Device, that's what I mean. Right? It has to be.
I mean, they're getting $2,149 for this. Although I don't really want a Blu-ray DVD burner, frankly. But
or necessarily a standard hard drive either. I'm surprised it's not at least a hybrid drive.
It is hybrid. They have a 256 gig SSD with a terabyte regular. But I think it's probably that. Well, Intel's hybrid is not 256, so I don't know what they're doing. Anyway. Again, we've put... ROG stands for Republic of Gamers.
Sure, I'm engaged.
Are you in the Republic of
You're
Gamers?
Engaged.
I'm engaged.
This is F-22 Raptor-inspired lines.
Yeah. And you know, like we were saying, if people like Paul's son... doesn't care about
who's buying this
PC.
It's middle-aged
man. What do you do if you're a PC vendor? You try to create new, you know,
SKUs
of your product.
This isn't for Paul's son. This is for Paul.
This is for Paul. Yeah.
Seriously, it's for middle-aged men. This is not for teenagers.
No, it is. Yeah. It's for people who have a lot of money who like want something impressive.
Not my son, is what I'm hearing.
It's this or Ashley Madison, basically.
Oops. Never.
Okay. Sure, leave it there. Leave it where it play it where it lays. You know, Microsoft has been using Bing to push Edge.
Those bastards. Those cheeky bastards.
You do a search on Bing. Well, let's do it right now. Let's search for Bing on Chrome. What do we get?
Yep.
We get. Search for Chrome on Bing.
Sure.
I don't know what you get if you search for Bing on Chrome. Let's just...
Your computer
let's just,
will implode.
It will. So let's say I just got a brand new Windows PC, and I really want to install Chrome on that there. That Chrome browser.
You get nothing.
Nothing. Where
it's
is
not
that?
Even there.
It's not even there.
No, it doesn't come up every time.
Oh. Well, maybe if I do it on Edge. Let's do it on Edge.
But Leo, you know, when you read certain blogs, they'll tell you that they're very aggressively pushing... their own browser when you search for Chrome or Firefox.
Here it is. Microsoft recommends. Recommends Microsoft Edge.
You guys will remember this. You know, back in the good old days, as I refer to them, as the late 90s, early 2000s, when Microsoft was it, when it came to personal computing.
Right.
They could shove technology down your throat just by including it with Windows, right?
Right.
Internet Explorer, Windows Media Player, Windows Messenger, as some examples.
Yeah.
And they got into trouble with various antitrust regulatory boards around the world, and they've had to stop doing that kind of stuff. Or they did for a brief period of time. Microsoft is no longer in that position, right? And this is nothing like that because they're not even using Windows to push this on you.
they're using
a web browser that nobody uses. I'm sorry. They're using a search engine that no one uses to push a browser that nobody wants on someone. I don't know. I mean, in other words, in my one time using Edge, I'm going to use it to find Firefox or Chrome or whatever and then never come back, you know?
And it's not doing it this time. So
it doesn't do it every time. And actually, I do think there's something to it where once it is shown that, it doesn't actually
it doesn't
do
show
it again.
I
think.
Yeah, that's and you know, what it's showing is also try Chrome.
Also try Chrome, sure.
Let's try Chrome.
And it's really, it's so aggressively it pushing it once. Chrome, Leo.
It only shows that it? Once.
Oh, anyway, this is a non. This is another one of those things. Like everyone's like, "Oh my God, there's Microsoft again! Look at them, those bastards." No.
By the way, if you are using Windows 10, you really should install Chrome right away.
Yeah,
because Edge Firefox. Doesn't support, still doesn't support LastPass or add-ons of any kind.
Can't drag website shortcuts to your desktop. There's all kinds of stuff it doesn't do.
You know what Edge?
By the way, doesn't sync bookmarks. I mean, like seriously.
That's something. I mean, that's like
are you kidding me?
Back to the 90s.
Are you kidding me?
One thing it does do, though, it it will stream Apple's event tomorrow.
Bingo.
What is that about?
Yeah, I don't know.
So no, Apple.
It's Apple.
Apple. Isn't it just because Microsoft Edge is finally supporting a protocol that you needed to do that?
I believe that is the case, yeah. Yeah, so they can finally stop bragging on Internet Explorer.
Chrome doesn't and Firefox doesn't. So if you want to watch the Apple event, normally you need an Apple device. You need... Safari on a Macintosh or Safari on iOS. You can't watch it on Chrome anywhere, but you can watch it on Edge. And I don't think this has to do with it can't be a device driver.
Who knows?
I think it's Apple is saying, no, we got to give you some way to watch on Windows.
But only on Windows 10?
No,
I mean, that's seriously, right. That's like 5%
okay.
of all
so
users.
It's some driver.
Or it's only,
that's crazy.
Edge has this, and IE does not, whatever this is. Right?
What could that be? Because really, Edge does almost nothing.
I mean, besides performance and reliability.
Well, it's fast and reliable.
You know, it's kind of hard to say.
That's what happens when you have no plugins. What is the user agent on Edge? Does it identify as Safari?
It's kind of, what are you looking for? I can be whatever you want.
I'll be whatever you want me to be.
Yeah, exactly.
You just tell me what you want. And
I just
will give
want
it
you
to
be happy.
I just want you to be happy.
I'm happy when you're happy.
Okay. Well, anyway,
it is very strange.
That's odd. I just thought that was odd.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
That is really fun.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. That's good.
I fired up as I do every few weeks my Lumia 1520.
Well, then you must be disappointed every few weeks because it's another build.
I keep waiting.
Well, Mary Jo just told us that the last build for desktop was on the 27th of August, which is obviously 10 days ago or so.
It's a while, yeah.
It's almost 2 weeks ago. When was the last build of Windows Mobile?
I think even
Windows 10 Mobile. Right? I think it was, I'm looking at my site to try to figure it out, August 13th?
Wow.
It was a while ago. Let's see.
10.5.12. Was that the latest build? I think it is.
It was a while ago. Yeah.
I can't.
Yep. 10.5.12.
Of course. I would look at my Windows phone to tell me the build number, but of course, Microsoft being Microsoft, they don't actually put the build number in there, put some other number. So
August
I can't 12, do that.
August 12th, Paul. 10.5.12. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was August 13th.
So that was a month ago.
Actually, it was August 12th.
Yeah, a month ago. Gabe has been saying there were some problems with the builds they were testing internally, and they were trying to wait to drop it to the fast ring until they fixed the problems.
10.5.1.2 is the last one.
Yeah.
August 12th.
Gabe also said today on Twitter that they're trying to get a new mobile build out this week, and they're working late nights and around the clock.
Really?
That's what he said.
Late nights. Not,
Well, except for Labor Day and other weekends and company holidays. And
we've had no luck at all putting a build out for 1 month.
It's been a month.
We took the month off.
I do believe they're working on it. It kind of speaks to a number of things, I think. It's not clear to me that this is a huge priority. It's not clear to me that this thing is, they didn't talk about it at IFA at all. When we talked about how lousy that keynote was, it seems like, God, this would have been a great moment to...
Except, what do you say at IFA about it? Hey, guys, we're beta testing this thing.
Well, no, I mean, the presumption is it's coming out in final form in the next 2-3 months or whatever, right? Presumably, there will be devices in market in time for Christmas or the holidays. Presumably, those devices will include small tablets as well as phones from a variety of companies. I mean, Acer announced a Windows Phone days before this event that, by the way, Microsoft did not mention that supports Continuum.
So, you know what my bet is? You know what my bet is on the timing? I bet we're going to see new Windows phones announced and available that are still running the preview build and not RTM.
Yikes.
Yep, that's what I think is going to happen. And just like Windows 10, they'll update it as it gets further along. They'll push out the update. But
there is some precedent for that, by the way.
There is. I know. But the problem is, of course, the carriers, right? If your carrier is holding back on pushing updates, unless you want to go get the insider build.
Unless they only offer those early phones directly, right? And then bypass the carriers, buy them unlocked, which I've heard they are going to do, at least as an option, universal radios and unlocked devices.
So that might be why they're not freaking out about how far along or not they are. I mean, we think they're going to announce two Windows phones in early October, right? And probably those phones will be available within a month. I bet those phones will be running preview unless they rush an RTM Windows 10 mobile.
Yep. Well,
that's my guess.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, that's where we're at. That's why I think you didn't hear much about this at IFA, because Microsoft's building two new Lumias, we already know, but they're trying to save all the fanfare for those devices for their own event. And who else is building Windows 10 phones?
Right. So I didn't expect them to show off their own devices, but it seems like there must be Windows 10 mobile tablets coming. It wasn't so long ago that this was the part of the market that was going to save the PC. Remember these like little mini tablets?
Yeah.
It was going to be the big deal.
You know what? I'm curious who if anybody, is going to build these.
Which ones? The tablets or the phones?
Small tablets, either ARM or Intel based, running Windows 10 mobile. I don't think it's going to be Microsoft. Do you?
Right. I would make the argument that Microsoft needs a Surface device that runs Windows 10 mobile, and that maybe a Surface Mini would be the logical device.
You think Intel based this time instead of ARM this time?
I don't have any information. I mean, I'm just, I'm not even speculating. I'm not saying they will do it. I'm saying they should do it. I mean, I think this is the type of thing that would signal to everyone else that they're serious about it, et cetera.
I'm betting OEMs will be the ones who bring a Windows 10 mobile tablet to market. I don't know which OEMs, maybe somebody like Asus or Acer.
Something. And not a major PC maker, like an HP, Dell.
Right, not HP or Dell. Maybe somebody who's like more into experimenting with like a phablet-sized Windows 10 mobile device with Continuum. That'd be kind of cool. Just a guess. Again, not predicting, saying I've heard that or anything. But I think that's why we haven't seen these devices. I think they're further behind than the phones are even.
Yeah. Yep. So that's all good news, Leo. Basically.
Okay.
Yeah, the IFA thing, though, it was a letdown. I think part of the letdown was that Microsoft let IFA broadcast this event.
That was
and
the
Microsoft
big problem.
Did
yeah.
not.
Yeah. I can just imagine the Microsoft product manager running over and saying, for crying out loud, because I know they had two cameras because later they had two shots.
Yeah, they had at least two.
Point one of those cameras at the screen so people could see what
Brian is doing. You can snap these two windows next to each other or whatever, and it's like, no, we can't see that. We see the back of a laptop.
Frustrating.
I know. It was really frustrating. Because he can really demo the product. I saw Brian Roper demo at
Brian Batista, Park you mean?
Conference.
Angel Batista. We call him Angel.
He's a great demoer, and he had the whole crowd revved up at Partner Show. But, have to have the camera showing the demo. Yeah,
it was very much, though, a Carney demo. Because that's one of the things they do when they're selling the nonstick pans. Are you with me here? Yep. What do you think? Yeah. Yep. How much would you pay now?
Wants to see this thing go faster.
And you know what? That worked at the Partner Show because that was the right
partners.
Right.
It actually worked at IFA. The IFA people were cheering.
Not the people watching at home. We were befuddled. But
listen, the only thing that could have made it worse was a Chinese woman talking in the background.
Well, you know? That's right. I mean, you know, and we didn't expect a lot because Microsoft, you had told me, wasn't going to make any big announcements. Yeah. They already said that. So it was just, you know. I was told
they weren't going to make any hardware announcements. I mean, I think, like I said, there's a little bit of a missed opportunity because they've got a nice thing going momentum-wise with Windows 10. I still feel like the talking about Windows 10 Mobile would have made sense.
Right.
I feel bad that they squandered what I think was a great opportunity.
They're not ready yet. And let's face it, Paul, they don't make any money on that.
Seriously. It's fair to say that Mary Jo and I and some of the people listening to this podcast are among the only people in the world who care about this. I get that. But you know,
I didn't hear, you know, like a big resounding, well, wait, they didn't talk about Windows Phone.
You're killing me, Leo.
We tried to dampen expectations.
I'm sorry. Actually, City Talk and Skyscraper, or whatever the hell the new ones are.
Nope, not even close.
are intriguing. And yes, Continuum is very intriguing.
Yes, it is.
Did they show Continuum? I didn't see that.
Nope, they did not.
That would have been a good thing to show.
And the thing is, Acer showed it off, I don't know, the day before or 2 days before, whatever it was.
That's the thing where you can attach a dongle to your Windows Phone, and it's a desktop PC. I think that's great.
Neat. If it would only ever ship.
Well, you know, who was it? Who did the Atrix?
Motorola, I think.
Motorola, I think. Yeah, that was the thesis of the Atrix.
Sure. There was back in the Windows Vista days, when it was still Longhorn, Asus had a prototype machine where it was built into the laptop lid was a slot for you to put your phone in there, and the phone became the computer. You know, that it was, I'm sure there were various designs like that as well. Someday.
You know what? He came this close to selling me a ROG, an Asus ROG laptop. I literally had it in my shopping cart. My finger hovered over the buy button.
Wow.
And then my better angels got a hold of me. AKA Lisa saying, what the hell are you doing? No, I'm happy with my Dell XPS. I think this is a nice little. It's not a gaming laptop. Mm-mm. It doesn't have a Blu-ray burner in it, but
thank God.
I know. I'm trying to think. What would I do with a blue? I haven't used a disc in a machine.
I know.
And I don't know when.
Actually, just last night, I took a CD that we bought on the street in Ireland, and I converted it with iTunes to music. You know, but
so you'd never.
I don't actually have a portable computer that.
No.
Can do that.
No.
You know, so, and I don't want one. I hope to never have to do this again.
I have a USB burner that I, if I need one.
That would be the right way to,
I pull it out of the closet.
Plug it into any computer.
Plug it in and do it.
Yep.
And then put it away again for another 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Dust it off every once in a while.
No, it's literally, it's dusty.
Yeah.
Microsoft buys crap. That's the next segment.
wait, what about the Skype beta?
I'm sorry. Sorry.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes.
Skype
That's pretty
messaging app previews. What is this?
All you even downloaded them, right? Did you?
Yeah. I mean, the basic gist of this is I believe it was back at Build in April, Microsoft talked about how the initial version of Windows 10 is going to get Skype, you know, as you know it, but sometime later in the year, they're going to integrate the Skype experiences into the Windows 10 apps that make sense. And that isn't exactly what's happening. Actually, the way it's working is a little bit the way it works on Android with Google Hangouts, where you can use that instead of the messaging app. Or I guess on Apple, you know, they use iMessage. That's the only message app, so they use that. And it allows you to do standard MMS, SMS-type messaging, as well as, in our case, a Skype, or in their case, iMessage or Hangouts-type messaging, which is IP-based, or turn it into a video or an audio chat kind of thing. And then the phone app has a button where you can turn it into a video call, and that uses a new, I don't know the name of it, but it's like a Skype video messaging app. And so going forward on Windows 10, instead of having a Skype app, you'll have these other apps that will jump in when needed, you know, in ways that kind of make sense to the user. So instead of thinking, I want to talk to someone, I got to use Skype. You'll have a messaging app. You'll have this video app, but they'll come in from the phone. They'll come in while you're messaging. And it appears to work. I don't have anyone to test this. Well, I guess I could have just done a normal Skype thing, but I was texting and calling myself back and forth the other day like a sad person, just to kind of test it. It works as you would expect. I mean, the issue for me with Skype is that you have to, you don't have to, but you should associate your phone number with it for it to work properly, because obviously you want to get the notifications and all that kind of stuff from the right place and be able to handle those transitions between traditional cellular type phone and messaging conversations and the IP based stuff. And so the Windows 10 mobile phone I used is not that number, because that number is on my main phone, which still runs Windows Phone 8.1 or whatever. And, you know, so I didn't get the full experience, but you can see how it works. It's an early version. It looks fine. You know, it's fine. If you're used to, like I said, if you're used to Android or iOS and you're kind of familiar with how they handle this type of thing, it seems to work very similarly. You know, mix and match the conversations in a single list, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Cool. And they're still keeping the integrated desktop version of Skype available, too. So
if somebody doesn't
want those standalone new universal apps, you can still...
But on a phone, you can see where they won't need a Skype app.
On a phone, right.
Yeah.
But on the desktop, because this also is going to come to PCs and tablets.
Yep. And I think, by the way, pretty soon, next couple of weeks, we're going to see the first version of that, apparently.
And... anything else in that section?
The Lumia thing. Lumia, we should probably talk about that latest bit of good news.
All right.
Yeah. So Microsoft announced right before the Labor Day weekend, quietly, that they were doing away with a bunch of the former Nokia apps that are now branded Lumia apps. So they're going to discontinue support for things like Storyteller and Beamer, Photo Beamer, Refocus, Panorama, Video Uploader. A couple of these are going to continue to work. Panorama and Video Uploader will. But the other ones are going to stop supporting. You already can't get any of these apps now, I believe, in the Windows Phone Store at all anymore.
Right.
There won't be updates coming to them, and Microsoft's just going to phase them out, basically, for Windows Phone 8. Now, the reason they say they're doing this is they say they're going to integrate some, but not all of these capabilities into the phone and camera apps that they're building into Windows 10. So they're kind of saying, you know, it's been confusing. You've got all these individual apps, and now we're going to take some of the best of these experiences and build them back into new camera and photo apps for Windows 10. The problem is they're not going to build everything back in. It's a little confusing which things are and aren't going to be supported feature-wise once they exchange these experiences. And those new apps only work on Windows 10 mobile. So as long as you have a Windows Phone 8.1, you're not going to be able to use these new camera and photo apps because they only work on Windows 10. So, yeah, it's weird. They pulled the plug on them before Windows 10 is available for phones, which is odd timing-wise. It's like, why didn't they just wait?
And before the functionality of some of that stuff is built into the main camera app, right? So, in other words, something like Panorama, if you had said, well, there's a Panorama function in the Windows camera app now or in whatever they're using, well, okay, you know, I get why they wouldn't need the separate...
Yeah.
You know, whatever, but I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why. That's the story of my life. I don't know why. Yep. And by the way, irony alert, I just got an app update on my Windows phone, and it was for, wait for it, Storyteller.
No, because the updates don't end for a little while longer. So if you already have these apps on your phone, you're going to get updates, I think, through October 30th or something.
Yeah, because what you want, it's called ripping off a scab.
Come on, you like Storyteller? Let's try it one more time.
Did we improve?
Made it even better.
We're still not keeping it.
So they're going away, and there doesn't seem to be any recourse. They're not open sourcing them or doing anything like that. It seems like they're just
they don't want you to see the code. It's a mess.
It's written in Delphi, Leo.
Yep, probably is.
It could be.
Can't open source that. Okay. Have we beaten this one to death? How about the acquisitions? I never heard of Adalom.
Yeah. Neither have we.
Volumetrics.
Microsoft bought two companies in the past week. The first one is Volumetrics. They are a company based in Seattle. They an organizational analytics vendor.
Oh, thank God.
That's why you've never heard of them. So for people who use Delve, Microsoft's Delve, which is kind of like Flipboard for Office 365, you may care because Microsoft's adding this new capability to Delve called Delve Organizational Analytics that's a little bit creepy. It lets companies look at how their employees are spending their time.
Oh, boy.
And this new company does that same thing, and so they're going to integrate Volumetrics in with Delve Organizational Analytics.
What? That? Oh, yeah. Wow.
You know, some people say it's great to know where your employees are spending their time to help people be more productive.
It helps
but
them.
Of course, you can look at it as why do they want
to
know what you're
trying to help them to the door?
Just trying to help. and the other company they bought today, in fact, is a cloud security vendor called Adallom, Adallom. And there was a rumor back in July that Microsoft was going to buy this company. It turns out they did. They are a cybersecurity company. They make software that monitors software as a service apps. So they monitor things like Box and Dropbox, Amazon Web Services, and Office 365. They have their roots in the Israel Defense Force. There are quite a few Israeli cybersecurity companies who have their roots in that. And so Microsoft bought them today, we think, for around $250 million, although the price was not announced. And Microsoft's going to be integrating this in with another acquisition they made that's very similar called Aorato, now called Threat Analytics. So Microsoft's just kind of on a buying spree right now for a bunch of cloud security vendors, which makes a lot of sense because you've got to have a secure cloud if you want to be a big cloud player. The question I have is Microsoft going to continue to allow Adallom to manage these other non-Microsoft cloud products? We know that they can manage Office 365, but are they going to let them keep managing Box and Dropbox, Salesforce? We don't know. And there's no clues in the blog yet about that. So we'll see. They're spending money, though. Spending.
You got it.
Little acquisitions here and there.
Spend it.
I need money, Microsoft.
Spend on me.
I always think of, when I see acquisitions, I think of the joy that ripples through the company being acquired.
Yes. Right?
It's a small business when you get, the $250 million check. That feels nice.
Unless you're the guy from Minecraft, in which case you're apparently suicidal or something.
Apparently, if you're not, it's like the worst thing that ever happened to you.
Yeah.
I feel so alone. I hope it doesn't get dark soon.
Let's take a break. Then we're going to get to the back of the book. Your tips, your tools, your recommendations, your enterprise stuff, and of course, beer. Don't forget, tomorrow we will be all together now in Manhattan at the beautiful Rattle and Hum. I'm coming just to see Mary Jo's mug.
Excellent. You will see it.
It exists. I know because I took it hostage one time.
I know. I know. They have ciders, right?
Yep.
Okay.
They have ciders.
I was going to drink gnarly wine, but
No.
I'm sad.
It's disappointing.
Yeah.
There's another really kick butt beer on, though, that you might like.
Oh, good. And it, does it have anything to do with your pick of the week?
No, but it's from Brooklyn Brewery, so you can drink local.
Yeah, I should drink local.
Yep.
I should drink local because I can have Lagunitas anytime. Do you think they'll fet me? They'll honor me because I come from Petaluma?
Lagunitas or
no, the Rattle and Hum.
Rattle knows about you. You're famous at Rattle.
Well, we'll find out. Yeah, they may be infamous by the end of this event.
If those women act impressed when they see you, I am going to be kind of disappointed.
Why?
Because they're so surly to everyone else that I have a hard time imagining them sucking up to anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how this
one. I can't wait to see him suck up to.
I can't wait. I'm very curious about this.
Well, Paul, get there early.
Yeah.
We'll be, and you should all get there early because I'm worried about there being too many people.
I am. Yeah. I am as well.
Because it's not just me. It's you guys. It's Dick DiBartolo. I mean, it's going to be a real fun time. It is not an open bar. We're not buying you nothing. Unless you know the secret word. And then I might buy. Oh, I can't.
Thank God. I was going to say, if I said last week, if anybody comes up and whispers gnarly wine in my ear, I'll buy them a gnarly wine. But foolishly, Lagunitas, thank God, got rid of the book.
It's almost like someone made a phone call to make sure it wasn't there.
Got rid of the gnarly wine tap.
Yeah.
But do come anyway. There's food. There's beer. Lots of beer. And we'll be there. And I'll bring a bunch of Sharpies if you want me to sign something. And I guess we'll bring, I don't know, do we have stickers? We'll bring something. We have these rubber bands.
I've got switch stickers.
We'll bring stickers. We have new screensaver stickers. We have rubber bands that say Twit that we give in studio guests. You're wearing them, right, guys? How'd you get in here? Who are you? Security? No, we used to, anyway, give these guys rubber bands when they come in here. Like, you know, like the Livestrong stuff.
So they can flick them at you when you're not doing a good job.
Maybe that's why we stopped.
It's only funny until
like, poke an eye out. Anyway, 3 to 5 p.m. tomorrow. Gosh, I can't even believe it's tomorrow. In New York City, 33rd between 5th and Madison. It's the Don't Go to Foley's, Go to Rattle and Hum. It looks
great. We really need to stop mentioning Foley's.
I know.
We're giving them a lot.
Throw that one out there.
Bad, bad place.
Also, don't go to Nellie Spleen, which is next door.
Nellie Spleen?
Nellie Spleen.
Oh.
Another Irish pub right near Rattle.
This is so we're in Irish pub row.
We are.
Wow. Yeah. It looks, I have to say, from the website, it looks great. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. And what should I get to eat? I think I'll be eating lunch there.
Curry fries, Leo.
Curry
sliders
fries.
Of all kinds.
Sliders, good. Yes.
My physician, Dr. Mom, will be there, so she probably have something to say about what I eat. A lot of people from the chat are going to come. It's going to be fun. Somebody's saying, will you meerkat it? Me, personally? You know, I have a feeling there will be others there who are not more gainfully engaged who will meerkat and Periscope and stream it. So look around for the streams. Let's take a break. When we come back, the back of the book. But first, a word from Braintree. If you're a mobile app developer, you're looking for a very nice full-stack payment solution for your app or your website, you got to check out Braintree, PayPal, Braintree, PayPal. They are a really slick solution, and you can kind of tell when you look at the reference list on the website. Airbnb uses it. Hotel Tonight uses it. Living Social. Uber uses it in their app. So when you have that great Uber experience and you get out of the cab and you don't have to pay anybody, the tip is taken care of, all that's done for you, that's Braintree. See, Uber and GitHub and all these other companies are smart enough to know that they shouldn't be writing this system themselves. Unfortunately, along comes Braintree, and it's a simple integration for them. 10 lines of code. Braintree does all of the hard stuff, the security, the fraud protection, the customer service, and for you, fast payouts, too. And they handle everything. Sure, credit cards, but also Venmo, Bitcoin, Apple Pay, PayPal. And should another payment solution come along, maybe something like, I don't know, Android Pay, they'll do that, too. And that's nice. You don't have to worry about it. You let them do the work. And they have very smart people doing it. They've made the payment experience seamless. That's what your customers want. It eliminates this mobile cart abandonment. It's the bane of a mobile app existence. You know, people get right to the point where they're going to buy, like I did with that gaming laptop, and then they go, never mind. So much of that happens because they don't feel confident. They don't understand what's going on. That Braintree makes it simple, easy. It works. You got to try it. And as a little sweetener in the deal, your first $50,000 in transactions will be fee-free. You got to like that. Tell the boss. Tell your team. BraintreePayments.com/windows. Go there. Try the sandbox. Play with it. See what you think. I think you're going to like it. BraintreePayments.com/windows. They're asking me if I'm going to do any body surfing tomorrow.
No, by the way, you may have to do body surfing.
Just to get in the door. Where's the bathroom? In the back or the front?
It's in the back.
Okay, I'm going. So what I'm going to do is I might get there like tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Camp out at the back.
Like at an Apple event.
Yeah. It is my Apple event.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
If you come, please before you get there, listen to the Apple thing so you can tell me what happened. Because I think I'm going to be, I don't know how I'm going to watch. I'm going to be out of it. We're doing meetings in the morning and things like that. All right, Paulie, my buddy, my old buddy, old pal.
A big stretch because it's time for the tip of the week.
I just have tips this week, no picks.
Nothing but. Just the tips, man.
But these are two good ones, I think. There was an announcement this morning by Disney, which, as you might imagine, I follow very closely. And and it was about syncing up. Let me look up the name of the service. It's called the Disney Movies Anywhere service.
Yes.
All right, so Disney obviously owns, Disney, but I guess they own Marvel and they own Star Wars. And, you can buy these movies from iTunes. You can buy them from Google Play. You can buy them from wherever. And I guess through the Disney account, you can actually link your Disney account to all of these services, which to me sounded kind of worthless. Like, why would you bother doing this? Except it goes in both directions. So if you, let's say, bought a Marvel Avengers movie on iTunes and then synced your account to Disney and then synced your Google Play account to Disney, you could go on your Android device and watch the movie you bought from iTunes. And that's actually kind of incredible, isn't it?
It works. I did that. I bought the entire Star Wars collection.
Right.
And now I have it all in my account.
I synced up every account that they offer. I have all of them. So it's like Google Play, it's Amazon Video, it's iTunes, Microsoft. This is why we're talking about it. Microsoft's movie and TV service, which used to be Zoom, which used to be Xbox Video, is now part of it. Next week, Roku is coming. What else is coming next week? There's another one being added next week. I can't remember. But it works with Vudu. If you use that, it works with Google Play, like I said. So this morning to test this, I bought the new Avengers movie on iTunes, linked up the accounts, I should say, opened up movies and TV on Windows 10, and there it is. And so actually I'm going to watch that on the train coming to New York tomorrow on my HP Windows 10 device using the Microsoft Videos app, not iTunes.
It's awesome.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you do this? I mean, the nice thing is maybe you're moving from one service to the other. Maybe you bought a random video on one service for some reason a long time ago. When I linked this, what I discovered were a couple of movies I'd kind of forgotten about. And then some movies that I didn't really understand were part of Disney. Like I think Gone Girl was in there and one of those, what do you call it? The National Treasure. It's kind of Indiana Jones ripoff movies that starred Nick Cage. I had one of those somewhere. Stuff like that, whatever. But and then if you do it now, you also get a free movie. You get Monsters, Inc., that Pixar movie. You get it for free.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, you can watch it. I mean, it's just, why not? Why wouldn't you just link the accounts? Yeah. Why not?
So
that's kind of a neat one.
There was an issue with the first Star Wars movie, Episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember. Was? The first one, the Empire, whatever it is.
Yeah. Was it there were not enough special effects?
Disney doesn't own the rights to that one. Fox does. So you had to buy it. Disney owns right to all the rest. You had to buy it from one of the places that had all six of them.
Yep.
And then you would get it.
Well, then you would get it.
Yeah. So I can't remember where I bought.
Obviously,
I bought it on
if you're
iTunes
a Star Wars fan,
Amazon.
You bought all six of them.
Right. But you could. But you noticed when we looked at my Disney account, I didn't have Episode 4.
I did notice it was funny you say that. I did notice on the Disney website that it was like Empire Strikes Back. And,
right.
But
there's no 4.
I didn't think to look for Star Wars.
That's
why. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
But it is. There's no charge for it. I don't know why they do it.
I have no idea why.
I don't understand. But, Disney owns the movies, obviously. So
I know. It seems like it would behoove you to them rather to want you to rebuy these movies on different services.
Just connect your accounts up and you're golden.
I linked all five of them or whatever the number is. And then eventually I'll be able to do this on Roku, I guess. I can't remember what the other one was. There's another service coming online in a week. And I think they're tying that to, I don't know if it's a Cinderella movie or some other movie release.
Oh, that's so nice.
Let me see. I don't see.
So I just connected up to Amazon. I guess it wasn't connected before. And I got the Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
Nice. iTunes, Google Play, Vudu, Amazon Video, and Microsoft.
Yeah, and there's more coming. A couple more services coming on board next week, too.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a cool one. So the second tip, which is sort of a software pick, but it's really just a tip, is you may recall I've talked and written a lot about downloading ISOs for Windows, various Windows versions, Windows 7, Windows 8.1, now Windows 10. So you can use that thing to perform a clean install of Windows. What a lot of people don't know, in fact, I didn't know this till someone tipped me off to it, is that Microsoft also offers a download for Office. And it's a little different than it is for Windows because, of course, there's no such thing as like a non-clean, you know, install of Office. But if you have an Office 365 subscription, this does not apply to you. You obviously always get Office from Office 365. But if you bought Office at retail, you can use this tool to download. It actually depends what you get depends on the type of or the version of Office you have. But it works from multiple versions of Office. And it's basically a way to re-download or reinstall the version of Office you already paid for. So in Windows, it works with Office 2007, 2010, 2013, and presumably when 2016 comes out, it will work there as well. The download type you get varies, like I said, from version to version. And on it also works for the Mac, although the only version you get right there right now is 2011. And I thought that Office 2016 shipped for the Mac, but I'm guessing that the retail version hasn't shipped yet maybe. Maybe it's only through Office 365 and the retail versions coming in the future. That sounds. Yep. Does that sound right, Mary Jo?
Yeah. September for okay. The retail version.
Okay. So, I mean, presumably this will be downloaded, or I'm sorry, it will be updated to support those things. But Microsoft has this website. You can go, it's called Manage, Download, Backup, or Restore Office Products. Like I said, it works for multiple Office versions. You need to put in your product key. It will find out exactly what you have a product key for, and it will give you that thing. And so, if it's an individual Office app or a specific version of whatever version Office suite, that's what you'll get, and then you can install it on a computer again. So if you wiped out your PC that came with Office, or you bought Office at retail and the disk got scratched or whatever it is, this is a neat way to go get that software again and, you know, legally download it and install it again. Nice. So kind of a cool thing.
Hey, not as cool as Microsoft Dynamics CRM 2016. However,
sorry,
you can't beat that. Mary Jo Foley, it's the Enterprise Pick of the Week.
So Microsoft went public today with the list of features that's going to be in Dynamics 2016. This is a release that's coming in the fourth calendar quarter of this year, even though its name is 2016. It's the next major version of Dynamics CRM for on-premises and also for the cloud. And there's a ton of new features in this thing. One of the more interesting ones is next generation Cortana integration. So even more, Cortana is going to be more tightly integrated with CRM. So people who use CRM products, who are typically salespeople, will be able to do a lot of things with Cortana in terms of surfacing information they need when they're in their account and such. But there's a lot of other things as well. There's updated Excel experience. There's a whole new version of CRM app for Outlook, Delve, which we mentioned earlier, Office 365 Flipboard type product is tightly integrated with CRM. Improvements to SharePoint, OneDrive for Business, and Office 365 Groups integration with CRM. There is a lot of stuff. Right now, it's in private testing, but it should be out before the end of this calendar year. So keep your ears peeled for that one. And I have another pick.
Well, there's two.
Yep, we're doing a second pick on Enterprise.
Okay.
So this is very interesting. This is a Microsoft product called Matter Center. What Matter Center is, M-A-T-T-E-R, is a plugin for lawyers. It's a plugin to Office 365, and it's something that Microsoft developed in-house for its own legal staff. They have 1,200 lawyers at Microsoft, lawyers and legal professionals.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding.
What?
So they developed this for their own employees to use.
What could you possibly do with 1,200 lawyers?
Oh, think about Microsoft and all the patents to defend and lawsuits to fend off. Yeah, they need lawyers. They have them. And they're all using Matter Center.
Wow.
So Matter Center is it's like, almost like a legal customized version of Office 365 and OneDrive and SharePoint. Microsoft extended these products so that they work better and work more like lawyers work. And Microsoft is actually taking Matter Center and providing it to their reseller partners, also putting the code up on GitHub too, so that people who don't work for Microsoft can start using this plugin too. So if you're a legal professional, and I've already talked to quite a few of them who are super excited about this, you can go get Office Matter later this month. And, you know, the reason I made it the pick, even though not everybody who listens to this show is a lawyer, is it makes me wonder if Microsoft isn't doing this for some other vertical markets. If they're doing this for legal, I wonder if they might be doing it for, you know, banking or transportation or insurance. Even though they don't have those kind of professionals in-house, I could still see them doing more customized vertical plugins for Office 365.
I see a lot of lawyers using Office. Sometimes they'll go out and they hire a consultant to customize it. And, you know, they get these brittle systems and the guy disappears. And so I think this is actually really smart. I'm sure there's good money in this, and I think it's a good idea.
Didn't WordPerfect have a special version of their product for lawyers?
Absolutely. Yeah, because lawyers are always putting out pleadings in this special format. And there's a lot of paperwork in lawyers. $1,200. You know, they started with two lawyers in the hutch, and they just multiplied. It's
like rabbits.
Yeah, just watch out. Don't let those lawyers mix together.
Yep, that's right.
Now we got beer.
Now we have a really cool beer pick this week. A Windows Weekly listener from Israel named Ilan Gabriel hand-carried over from Israel four craft beers.
Wow.
He dropped them at Rattle and Hum. Paul was there the day he dropped them off.
Yep, we met.
So I have.
Do you like have a mail drop at Rattle and Hum?
they hold packages.
Mail drop. This was a live delivery.
That's better than Cliff. You got it, mate. Cliff Clavin. They knew when he went in, but they didn't hold his mail for him. Yep. Holy cow!
Hey, Mary Jo, we got a package for you.
Yeah, they do. They call or text me when they get packages.
Unbelievable. So I need a local bar like that.
You do. But this was really cool. So he brought four different Israeli craft beers, and I have a picture of them in my kitchen that I attached to the show notes. And the one I liked the most was an oatmeal stout. I wouldn't necessarily think of Israel making great oatmeal stouts, but this one was a nice light oatmeal stout. It is called Shapiro, and it's from Shemesh in Israel. And it was what I liked about it was it's got a nice chocolatey, coffee-ish flavor, but it wasn't too heavy. So it was a really nice summer alternative for an oatmeal stout. Very smooth, creamy. It was good.
Sounds great.
Yeah, and he dropped two IPAs off and an amber. It was really nice of him. He hand-carried them all the way.
That's very sweet. Yeah, people bring me beer.
Nice guy.
It's nice. People are very, really sweet. Except for you guys.
Except the ones that aren't on Twitter.
Yeah, those ones. Those ones.
Jerks.
Them.
I've also embedded in the show notes the latest beer list from Rattle and Hum if you guys want to see what's probably on tap tomorrow.
What's on tap at Rattle and Hum?
There is a Lagunitas on. There's an IPA.
I've had plenty of that.
So where is it? Oh, the beer menu, I see. Yeah, is this actually the live update one?
Allagash Fluxus.
They just updated this.
I'm not drinking a beer called Fluxus. I'm sorry.
Although, it's good.
It sounds like it's really good. Experimental hops.
Finch's Wet Hot American Wheat.
Bear Republic's a local.
Yep.
Big Alice Fountains. Single Hop Sour.
They have a ginger ale brewed with fresh, fragrant raw ginger.
Yeah. Is that like a beer ale or just a ginger ale?
Kiyuchi Hitachino Nest Ginger Beer.
Ooh, Brooklyn Intensified Coffee Porter. Was that the one you were talking about?
Yep.
Made from Finca El Manzano single origin coffee beans and blue bottle coffee. Aged in bourbon barrels. Wow.
Yeah, that should be pretty good.
Finch's good day, Leo. American wheat.
let me tell you how this is going to go.
Ridiculous.
It's going to be a really good day, and then it's going to be a really shitty night.
Should I get wasted? Should I get just like wasted?
Well,
so this is not a beer. This ginger beer is not a beer. It's a ginger ale. It's non-alcoholic.
Which one?
The ginger ale? This ginger ale is brewed using fresh raw. When they say ale,
No, it's got APV is 7.
That's the alcohol content?
Yeah.
Yep, that's the real thing.
Not much. Alcohol.
What happens is I go home from these events and I get on the train.
Yeah.
And I fall asleep on the train.
Yeah.
And then I have not missed my stop yet.
Albany.
But there's only a matter of time before I get all the way home.
What are we doing in Syracuse?
Right.
I'm sorry.
You have to get off the train now.
When they say papers, please, that's when you know you've gone too far.
Papers?
You have papers? Where are we? You're in Slovakia. Mackenzie's Hard Cider. I might be having some of that. That sounds good. Yeah. They make it themselves. Looks like. It says our original hand-pressed hard cider.
They just hand-copied
They just cut and paste. This cut and paste.
Is it made for them or is it? Oh, they just copy. No, I see. They copied the description.
Got it. Yep.
There's a lot of really good
mead
ones.
Made with five parts.
Oh, Leo,
clover,
you're
going
to love this place. You're never going to
want
to leave.
I want one of each. Could I?
You can get a sampler.
Could I? Well, no. What I want to do is earn a mug in one night. Can I do that?
Oh, I've heard people earn it in three. It's never a pleasant experience.
Yeah. I was going to say. Right.
A grapefruit Hefeweizen? That sounds awesome.
It's like someone who goes to the top of Mount Everest and gets really sick, but it was totally worth it.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I found my beer. Smutty Nose Smut Labs Baja Hoodie. Amber Mexican lager with chili and agave syrup. Or
if only it was called the Granite Star Destroyer. That would be the most awesome beer ever made.
Smutty Nose Smut Labs Bière de Shire. It's a farmhouse. The Granite State Destroyer. Wow.
Yep. That's the thing that took down the old man of the mountain in New Hampshire.
Yep.
Ooh, a framboise. Wow.
Yeah, Timmermans framboise. I think I've had that one. And then the bottom one, that Hefeweizen, and that was there last time. I think I had that last time.
Mostly what I drank in Germany when we were there in July because it was so hot was Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Well, it's 97 here. We just broke the all-time record.
Hooray.
So
that probably means the winter will be warm, right?
Why?
Hello? Anybody?
Yeah. The plane's going to melt.
You'll be fine.
We're going mint.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Yeah.
So I'll let you know how that is. That's on the JetBlue where you lie flat.
I know. I can't wait.
I'll have another beer, stewardess.
Just pour it right in my mouth.
Pour it right.
I paid for the service.
You're great.
What does a guy got to do to get a beard poured on his belly?
So you're saying I should get the aisle seat? I can't wait to see you guys. This is going to be a lot of fun. Everybody should be there 3 to 5 p.m. If you're in the tri-state region,
if this event goes the way I think it's going to go, we're going to wave to each other from afar.
Probably. I'm going to station each host in a different corner because we want to talk to people. Don't think, if you do come, I should say, it's unlikely that I'll be able to sit down and have a long conversation.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to troubleshoot your computer.
No, don't bring your computer.
It's going to be...
Dr. Mom said, I'm going to bring my pictures from Iceland so we can look at the album together. And I said, I would love to do that, but I'm thinking there's going to be more than a few people. I don't know how many can be accommodated. If you get there and there's a long line out the door, just go to Foley's.
Right. What was that other place called?
Nellie Spillane's is next door.
Mickey's sister, Nellie.
Yeah. And by the way, we will be checking at the door. If you have an Apple device, you cannot come in.
Oh, come on.
Just kidding.
Sorry. Come on.
I mean, it's not going to be like a brisk rub down or anything, but, I just want to make sure.
That wasn't my idea. That was Garrett Wheat's idea, but
yeah,
I
like
funny.
It. Right. No, it's not a Windows event because it's, you and not. Paul are there, but so's Dick DiBartolo, so am I, so's Lisa.
Has a rotary phone, for starters.
Dick's got an Android phone, I think. I will be bringing my Note 5. Lisa will have her iPhone, so there'll be a variety.
I hope she can get in.
You know what?
I'll let you frisk her, Paul.
No, I'm not going into that.
The new Microsoft's multi-vendor, so we will be...
That's right. Reflect. It works everywhere you want to be.
It does.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Hope we get to see you. I will not be here tomorrow, but I'll be back for Windows Weekly next week. We'll be back at our regular time. That's 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC on Wednesday, every week with Mr. Paul Thurrott, Thurrott.com, Ms. Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com. Every week we talk about Microsoft. It's a lot of fun. I hope you will be here. If you can't watch live, by the way, welcome to Chris and Mark and Jim in the studio. Chris from Charlotte. Mark and Jim are locals from Novato and Ukiah. If you want to be in studio, it is a small studio, but we'd love to have you. Just email ahead of time so we can make sure we have enough room. Tickets at twit.tv. And if you can't be here or watch live, you can always get it after the fact at twit.tv/ww or wherever you subscribe to your favorite shows. We're in there. I guarantee you,
8 or 9 years we've been doing this. I think nine now. So there should, if there's a directory of shows on the internet, we'll be in it. Thank you, guys. I'll see you tomorrow. So excited. And we'll see the rest of you next week on Windows Weekly. Yeah, it is. I can't believe it's just tomorrow. I mean, it's like I'm here, and then tomorrow I'll be there. It's jet travel is still kind of not new to me. I'm excited. Foley's will be the riffraff room.
Leo, I don't get to say this a lot, but I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Nice. See you guys.